Hello, backstage. A few weeks ago, I put up my AMA and I got some interesting questions, and here are the answers to them. Joker William Redmore. Have you ever considered writing M subscripts? No, not really. I tend to write for myself, and I'm an F sub. Everything that I've written that wasn't M for F has been incidental. A matter of getting some distance into a script and realizing I haven't mentioned anyone's dick yet and just deciding to roll with it. And one script that I just didn't think would get filled if it was M for F. Second question, have you considered performing? Again, no, not really. I can't really dirty talk. I've thought vaguely about recording some of my own scripts because I'm vain and I think some of them are fun to say, but imagine I'd be a very convincing dom, and not to be disgustingly sincere on main, but I already know that I can make people be attracted to me by pretending to be something I'm not, and I don't want to. Though when the swaps come around, I think about it. The whole stalking and gift-making process sounds fun. Maybe I'll ask the mods if they ever need a pinch hitter. But in general, no. And the thought of getting, like, pity comments from people I've been nice to makes me feel physically ill. Third question. Who is your favorite performer, if you can think of one? Ah, no, I'm too horny for that. I like a lot of people. I can say that the kinds of things I write are the kinds of things I listen to, so if you make that kind of content, I probably like you. Thank you for your questions, Joker. Mr. Brumbly, how do you think your scripts have evolved or not since you began writing for GWA? God, I hope they've become better. Easier to read. I think I've also become less afraid of just doing whatever shit comes to mind, as some things I thought were just too niche managed to find appreciation, so. Any fun new kinks since becoming part of the community? I feel like it's more that certain kinks I already had got exacerbated. Like, breeding kink comes to mind when I was only kind of mildly into that before here. Your work is often very character driven. Is it? How do you discover these characters? That's kind of an unexpected question. I feel like all my narrators just sound like me at varying levels of irritation and formality. I tend to write pretty intuitively. If I had to describe the process, it's kind of a, if this is true, then what else is true? Sort of process, like, I'm looking around my room right now. Okay, I want to write about buying a pair of boots. Okay, I'm writing about buying a pair of boots, so why is this person buying boots? Do they want them, or do they need them? They need them. Okay, why do they need them? They need them for the snow. Okay, why are they out in the snow? They're out in the snow because they just moved to Canada? Why'd they move to Canada? And on and on and on until I have enough to hang a story on. So I guess the characters just kind of grow organically from the situation they're in. Like, this is the situation, this is the sort of bitch who would be in that situation. Good question, thank you. Any script ideas that were just too out there to share, and what were they if you can speak about them now? No? Not too outlandish, I don't think. I don't think my ideas are too out there. I think I mostly play with fairly common tropes. If I decide not to do something, it's either because I thought I couldn't pull it off, or that pulling it off would be more work than I wanted to do for this hobby, or the idea is too personal, too revealing about my own issues. And what were they, if you can speak about them now? I have fragments of this interrogation thing that I've been poking at for months that I don't think will ever actually get finished. I don't think I can do it without a lot of work or, like, more length than I want to commit to. Or both. Actually, I just remembered this script idea I had about. I might edit this out. It's a script for two voices about two bisexual boyfriends who abduct a guy to assault, and it turns out to be a female jock instead. I tabled that one because I feel totally cool and comfortable writing about sleazy heterosexuals, being a sleazy heterosexual myself. Sleazy non-heterosexuals feels a little less comfortable for me. Also, the script required a lot, by the way, of, like, affectionate and lovey banter between the two men, and I didn't know how many performers would metaphorically want to let the balls touch. That's kind of awful of me. Why should I assume that about the male performers of DWA? They've never done anything to me. The ones I scrapped as too personal basically just involved a lot of, like, reassurance for the listener who coincidentally possesses traits I also possess and feel some kind of way about. Good questions. Next question. Koshka! Koshka, Koshka, Koshka. If you could wake up and be fluent in any language, what would you choose and why? Well, Spanish would be the most useful. I'm obviously American and I live in America, so that. I'm tempted to say Hebrew though, because it's fucking hard and all the letters look the same. What qualities does a song have to have for you to love it? I think it does have to have words. My immediate thought is that I like things I can sing along to, and that is certainly true, but there are songs I like I definitely can't sing along to. I think for me to love a song, it has to either make me feel a thing or convince me that you, the songwriter, once felt a thing. Something that doesn't feel like it was stamped out of a die, even if, you know, it was, if it was made by focus groups sitting in a boardroom. Is that kind of a dickish hipster answer? Maybe. Like, especially if the feeling in question is not romance. I'm not a very romantic person. And songs that go hard on rage or fear or lust or ambition. Or whatever weird fucking emotion the mountain goats are tapping into. Trauma, possibly. What is the best gift you've ever given someone else? Probably the inflatable tentacles I bought my partner when we first met. Who is your favorite Spice Girl? I haven't the faintest idea. Cumin. Sprung X. Sprung, I love that your little motto thing is bread slut. I might have to fight you for that. When's the best time to fill a script for you? I'm sure you love getting scripts filled, but when would you drop everything and listen? It has everything to do with my mood and nothing to do with my schedule. If I'm feeling my oats, I'll find a way to listen on the way to work or on my lunch break. If things are going shitty for me, it might take a few days to listen, even if it was my favorite script ever and filled by the best performer in the world, and I don't have anything to do that day but turn oxygen into carbon dioxide. How do you take your coffee? Light and sweet and iced, generally. If I'm out, I like those fancy cake in a cup drinks with caramel in them. At my house, I usually just make drip coffee and condensed milk in it. I have coffee ice cubes, so I can have iced coffee whenever I want, which is often. Why is hot chocolate better than coffee? Oh, someone's trying to fight. Between an innately strong superpower that can't grow. I am more tired than I realized. And an innately weak superpower that you can train and master, which would you prefer? I think that would depend on the superpower. Some things you would want to cultivate and some things you wouldn't. I think innately strong, probably. Which probably says something bad about me as a person, but life is already exhausting enough without giving me more shit to feel bad about not doing well enough. Kinky Stuff 420, how did you choose your name? It was randomly generated. It hasn't served me too badly, though. I don't mind being Belle. I'm getting used to it. Notorious Lore. Since I quit audio porn and now do a podcast, where can I tip you for all your wonderful scripts? I must show appreciation in the capitalist way. That's lovely. You know, I read this in for like a few seconds. I actually considered setting up a coffee thing, but I think that's really more for performers, and I don't even know if I would be allowed to link that sort of thing here. I feel like no. I've never put any effort into remembering the rules about money stuff here because why would I? Anyway, I am extremely flattered by this, and when I got this message, I walked around with a smile for quite some time. But instead of doing that, just throw a few dollars towards your local food bank and tell them that the jerk-off lady sent you. Whispers in their ears. I'm new to the community, new to your fandom. Fandom. And I'm putting together a fill for hunting permits. That fill turned out incredible, by the way. What works and authors have influenced your conception of fairy? Definitely Holly Black and Seanan McGuire. I've read all the Toby Day books and I love the Wicked Prince series a lot. They both write fairyland as something very, very dangerous to human beings, but incredibly tempting too. I also had a lot of poetry on my mind, a lot more than actually ended up in the script. The Goblin Market, definitely, and that one about killing the Fairy Queen, her strong enchantments failing. How does that go? I have Google, I can find out. Oh, it's called Her Strong Enchantments Failing. Her towers of fear and wreck, her limbic stride of poison, and the knife at her neck. The queen of air and darkness begins to shrill and cry. Oh, young man, oh, my slayer, tomorrow you shall die. Oh, queen of air and darkness, I think 'tis truth you say. And I shall die tomorrow, but you shall die today. I like that poem, it's fun. Do you have a favorite poem or poet? I don't think so. I like Edna St. Vincent Millay. I like Clementine von Radix. I like Edna St. Vincent Millay. I like Clementine von Radix. My millennial ass do love Richard Sykin. I like a lot of different individual poems for different moods. The Fuck You poem by Amy Gerstler is a lot of fun. It's very vivid and visceral, and I like swearing. Maybe I'll link it in the post. Maybe I will. Oh, definitely in the top five is that poem about exile by Warsan Shire. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. No one leaves home unless home is the barrel of a gun. What's that called? Is it just called Exile? Let me ask Professor Google. Oh, it's called Home. There we go. I also like There Will Be No Peace by W.H. Auden. In my regular writing, I write a lot of. Mean, porn is regular writing. Porn is extremely normal to the human condition. In my less sexy writing, I write a lot about trauma and what happens to a person after their own personal world has ended and they have to find their way after the storm has changed them, but they still somehow have to keep buying groceries and being a person, and that's a poem I associate with that feeling and theme a lot. So yeah, that's some of them. If you asked me tomorrow, you might get different answers. Riff 341. As opposed to MSUB, what are your thoughts on writing gentler DOM scripts? I don't know. I don't consume a lot of gentler DOM things. I don't know what the tropes of the genre are. Praise, probably. I think praise can be a little hard to write. The best praise is specific, you know. In my opinion, you're a good cook means less than I love your spinach puffs and creative use of spices. And praise is easy to choke on when it comes from a source you don't trust, or it just feels generic, like you're just saying that because it's what you say to women or submissives. This is becoming an editorial on my feelings on praise and script. But what constitutes gentle DOM? I mean, I know a lot of this is down to interpretation, and there probably aren't super hard edges, but like, I think the fact that I don't even entirely know what that involves speaks to my answer basically being no. Like, yeah, I really enjoy writing non-consensual things and degradation, and that's probably not under the umbrella of gentle, no matter how large the umbrella might be. Even when I have an idea that's more soft-spoken, less violent, it's generally a film over something bad. Like, this guy can be nice now because you're drugged to the gills, or there's a lot of praise involved, but only because this is the sort of guy who really values his dogs. I think for me, I'm not interested in gentler dynamics unless I know the person, unless there's a relationship there, unless I have some reason to care about pleasing this person or whether or not they think I'm good. Whereas, you know, any random sexy voice can be a hot assassin with a knife. In that same arena of might not be my thing. How do you feel when your script gets filled as F-DOM versus via gender flip or offered as A-DOM? Are there noticeable particular differences between your reactions based on the filler's gender? Are there noticeable particular differences between your reactions based on the filler's gender? I am painfully and obnoxiously straight. So while I like flipped fills a lot, and I can recognize their hotness subjectively, I don't get off on them. So that's the main difference. I'm still delighted and enjoy them a lot. It's a really amazing, amazing feeling. People wanting to read your words out loud, going through all that effort, but doesn't turn me on. Do you have any thoughts about script freshness? At what point would you consider a script old? At what point would you consider a script old? And does age affect your perception of the script, either yours or another's? Old would be a few years, in my opinion, and I haven't been here that long, but I love fills for things that aren't at the top of my master list. I love them a lot, actually. I've had time to forget the exact wording of them, and it makes them feel a little new. And it makes them feel a little new counterintuitively. And also, it's really flattering to know someone went back through your shit. Same answer for older fills of other people's work. They feel new. If you had access to SCP-662 for a day, what would your first three requests be? I had to look this up. For the people in similar boats, it's a little silver bell that summons a butler, who will do standard butler things, provide moderate wealth, and commit simple murders. My first three requests would probably be to make me and my partner breakfast, clean my house, and bring me and my partner some expensive shoes. We're getting old, I have to think about my spine. And I'm not sure about math questions this time around. Is that your brand? I mean, the first thing I would imagine would be the bell curve, but it may not be fair to assume knowledge of statistics. Best to assume I don't really know anything useful. But then again, if I were to consider some sort of sound-based problem, then I might have to get into some Fourier whatnots. I'll definitely know whatnots, forbidden to whatnot. And that would be even less fair, so, if you invested some amount of bells, I've never played Animal Crossing before, at a compounding interest rate of 10% per year, and after 3 years, your balance was 17,303 bells, how many bells were in the account when you first invested before the first 3 years? Oh, riff, honey, darling, fruit cup. My dove, I'm not doing this. I did not drop out of high school so that I could do math recreationally, bless you, but no. And with that cop-out, I have reached the end of my questions. I hope that was edifying. I've heard people say they fall asleep to these things. That's a nice idea. Hopefully it was restful. Y'all take care now.